If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I thought about Jesus the other day in anticipation of this message. And Jesus knew that eventually he would leave. And he says, I'm leaving you to represent me. How awesome is that? How awesome is that to represent Jesus? When I'm not here, these men represent me. You reject them, you reject me. You receive them, you receive me. You disobey them, you're disobeying me because they are me when I'm not here. They know my heart. Sometimes they hear what I say, and they know my heart. They know I might get up and fuss, but they know my heart. And sometimes Pastor Aaron watches out for my heart, and he says, look, you need to just get away from this because it's too much for you. He knows that I will get up under stuff and take too much on me because I care. Pastor Martin will stop in my office sometime to ask the question that many people don't ask, how are you doing? Because they care about who I am, not just what I do. God has a visible will that the people cannot see in the world, so they want to know his heart. In the midst of all the terrorism, in the midst of all the famine, the earthquake, the rise in pestilence and disease, in the midst of the judgment, in the midst of all the evil being poured out in the world has a question: what is the heart of God? Is he really this nasty individual who's just sitting around sending homosexuals to hell? Or does he really love you? What is the will of God? What is the heart of God? You and I have been left here, but we have certain handicaps that prevent us from being positive role models, examples of the heart of God. Jesus came to model God in two dimensions. He comes to model God in the spirit. We call that the miraculous. He comes to model God in the natural. We call that compassion. When the two dimensions meet, people get a better understanding of God's care. As African-American believers, we are saddled with poor self-image. This poor self-image permeates your theology. It causes you to actually believe that you're under a curse given to a son of Noah that has nothing to do with you that are born again. You have allowed a theological outlook postulated and presented by Japhethites to make you believe that you are forever relegated to poverty. You believe you're supposed to always be the tail, a day late, and a dollar short. You believe that you are supposed to be in slavery all your life. You really do not believe that you are free. You believe that you're supposed to be a criminal. You believe that you're supposed to be dealing drugs. You believe that that is something that is intrinsic to our race. You have lost your self-image. You want to look like people who held you in bondage. You don't like your hair the way God made it. You don't like your nails the way God made it. You don't like you. You don't like your nose, so you get it fixed. You don't like you because you feel that you cannot be accepted if you are you. We are self-loathing, self-hating. We are uncertain as to our capabilities. And so as a result of that, we set no goals that are greater than our present position. We've come through the educational process with one goal in mind, just to graduate high school and get a job and forever be a slave to somebody else, because that's how we see ourselves. The only difference between us and the people during the time of slavery is that we get paid. We're still beaten down. We're still ostracized. We're still lacking political power. We're still lacking because we don't believe that we can do it. Because of that natural inclination to move to failure, we are jealous and envious of those who aspire to greatness. When God begins to bless someone else and develop prophetic gifting or preaching gifting or some other type of spiritual gifting in another, we like to tear it down. Because we're not doing it, because we still nationally, racially, ethnically, we still have the crab in the basket mentality of pulling each other down, and we don't know how to build one another up. We can't seem to get it right. And so what the devil has done is allowed you to come into Christ, get your soul saved. And as a people, we aspire to heaven, 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 and never make a change on the earth. Heaven is guaranteed. Heaven is your eternal destination. But God did not save me to take me to heaven. Had he wanted me to go to heaven, he would have saved me and killed me right at the altar. But he left me here for some reason. Could it be to demonstrate his grace, his love, his mercy to those who are broken? Could it be to be a source of encouragement and or help to somebody who is downtrodden and doesn't know how to get out of the prison that we once were in? Could it be that God left me here to be a source of economic strength to help somebody go where I have no desire to go? Could it be that I have purpose beyond the mirror? You know what that means? That means that my purpose extends further than myself. Lord, have mercy. When you look in the mirror, you see you. But I submit to you, that's not why God filled you. God didn't fill you for you. God didn't gift you for you. God didn't bless you for you. Because if you stand at that mirror long enough, you will see that there's a reflection of somebody who's less off than you that you can help. God communicates. Five ways God communicates. God communicates. Number one, he communicates through audible voice. He'll talk to you. But I submit to you, God talking to you is not his best. I know some of you live for that audible voice from God, but that's not his best. I want to tell you that my mother has been dead since 2002 and my father has been dead since 1987. And yet both of them are still talking to me, but they have both died. And there was a time when as a little boy I needed to hear their voice, but now I still hear their voice. I better save that for another sermon. See, some of you long to have God talking to you. But if you knew what I knew, you would realize that that audible voice is not his best. He'd rather not have to talk to you audibly, because there are many spirits that can betray you and speak to you in an audible voice. God would rather speak to you through the second way, his word. He'd rather you read that word and say, "That's for me. That's for me," and the devil can't take it. "That's for me," and demons can't stop it. "That's for me," and humanism can't change it. "That's for me." Now, as you grow after understanding the word, he takes you to the third way of speaking to you, and that's through people. Oh, yes, God will speak to you through people. people who have been where you are going, people who have come out of what you are in, people who are sent to warn you about impending danger and doom. God will speak to you through dreams and visions. That's the fourth way. The reason God speaks to you through dreams and visions is because when he does that through dreams and visions, you won't talk back to him. He has your undivided attention. When you sleep, he'll tap you. Now, here's what I want you to know. And so many of us are like Samuel. When he speaks to us, we don't know it's his voice. And the fifth way that God speaks to you is through trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Some of you are going through financially. And you come to the benevolence committee and you say, I want the benevolence committee to help me. And the benevolence committee doesn't always ask the right question. Sometimes they ask about your need and whether or not you, if this particular blessing will solve the problem. And maybe it will and maybe it won't. But the question that should be asked is, how did you get in this position? You see, what you may be going through is judgment from God. And you're asking us to move you out of judgment, and God is saying, I cut off your finances because you've been rebellious and disobedient with my blessings. And so sometimes trouble can speak to you. I had a dream the other day that someone broke into my house and robbed me like somebody from Utah. Took the paintings off my wall. It was horrible. Just robbed me. I'll use the old saying, rob me blind. I ran downstairs and they were running out the door, and I chased, it was four of them, and I chased them down the street and I yelled, I'll give $1,000 to whoever just stops one. And somebody grabbed one and I ghetto whipped him when I got him. I said, now call your friends, call them. And I went back to the house and Ted was in my house. He was a police officer. You were in uniform then. Sorry to demote you. You were in uniform then. And he was in my house. And he walked around. He said, all right, they took this off and they took that. And he was just charting everything that they took. And I said, Ted, you got to get my stuff back for me. And I had the other guy by the head. I said, he knows who took it. And Ted took him and he said, get on the phone and call him. And I'm standing right there listening to Deacon. And he'd call him up and get this man's stuff back. I wasn't his pastor then. I was just a victim. And I sat up in my dream, and I said, wait a minute. I said, the house that was in the dream wasn't the house that I was living in. The burglars came into a house that I wasn't living in. So when I got myself together, I said, wait a minute, I don't live there. You see, the devil will try to lie to you and make you lose your joy in a place where you have no business being. What you need to do is return to your seat and go back to the heavenly place that you're sitting in. Because God always has somebody to help you get back to where you belong. But if you are an individual who don't like to listen to people, then you can stay in bondage. God will speak to you through dreams and through people. And some of you are going, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is God trying to tell you? I know what he's trying to tell me. It had nothing to do with somebody stealing from me. The writer in Thessalonians says, basically, faith can't grow where the word isn't preached. And so I go to God and I say, Father, I don't understand this. Why is it that your people are so consistently in poverty? Consistently living week to week. One paycheck from the street. Why? God said, mindset. I'm going to tell you something today that I hope will liberate you in your thinking. Are you familiar with the 10 plagues that came to the children of Egypt? When the children of Israel were in bondage, I submit to you that those 10 plagues were not for the Egyptians. Watch this. Pharaoh was ready to let him go after the first thing. But God said, I'm hardening his heart so he doesn't let you go. Why do you think God would do that? To prove to his people that he can take care of them when they get to the new land. Had he just delivered them after the water turned into blood, then that's all they would have known him as. But by the time he was finished with the Egyptians, they knew God as a provider, as a light giver, as a protector. He kept them from frogs. He kept them from, he kept their cattle from dying of the plague. My God, that's why when they got over into the land and they run into that bitter water, and the Bible said they cried to Moses, and God said, why are you crying? Don't you remember what I've done? Why are you living in poverty? Why are you broke? And here we are, 2015. We have entered into the 21st century, and we still have the same mindset of the 1700s. We are still permanent victims. We visit success and then go back to poverty. Visit success, go back to poverty. God will bless you. Right? And then you go right back into the poverty, expecting him to bless you again. And God is saying that once I take you into the blessing, you ought to not only enjoy the blessing, but develop a plan to stay there. I stood up here, I don't know how many years ago, and I said I had been made aware of something that was happening in America, that there was a shift from going to the movies to staying home and seeing first-run movies on your computer. There were three major companies that were investing heavily into this particular venture, that they were laying the fiber optic cable starting in the Midwest of the United States and feeding it out to each coast. I named the companies at that time. One of the companies was Disney. I said, you should scrape up money and buy Disney. Told the people. I did it. Bought it at 26. It is now over 120. They went out and bought other companies. Sony went out, which was the other company, and bought Netflix. And Netflix became the thing that whenever you buy a television or a DVD player, Netflix is on there. So you can watch stuff at home. People said, this will never catch. People want to go to the movies. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, folks started shooting people in the movies. Then people said, I ain't going to movies no more. I'm going to wait for the DVD. I'm getting paid. I'll send you my messages from a beach in Hawaii. God bless you, Bethel. Here's the word of the Lord. Be right up on TV. Because God, listen carefully, is not a God who has a knee-jerk reaction. He's a God who plans your success while you're in the midst of success. Hear me. In the book of Genesis, the Bible said that Pharaoh had a dream. He was Pharaoh. He was over everything. He had a dream. The dream showed seven fat cows being followed by seven skinny cows, and the seven skinny cows devoured the fat cows and stayed skinny. The fat cows were Democrats. Tax and spend. The skinny cows were Republicans. They came and ate up all the things that the Democrats gave you. You've been waiting for a Democrat to continue Franklin Roosevelt's presidency. You had it for 8 years
under Bill Clinton. You lost it under Ronald Reagan. Lost a lot more under George Bush. Prayed that Obama would give it back to you. And so you're bewildered, bewitched, disappointed that not only a Democrat, but a black man couldn't give you the economic position that you wanted. But there is a man who gave you unlimited access to prosperity and success, who died that you could have access to the throne of God and get everything you need, enough to not only bless yourself, but to give to those who don't have. Let me go on. Jeremiah 29. I'm only going to do that because we got church tonight and I want you to come back. But watch this. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah. He has an unenviable job. He's got to preach correction. Nobody wants to listen to correction. We love the mediocrity of consistent melancholy behavior. Some of you that are going to college, you skip over the hard stuff and take the basic stuff because you don't want to deal with the hard stuff, but you can't graduate without the hard stuff. Life, we look for the easiest way, always looking for detours. I don't want to sit at no lights. I'm taking another route. Don't matter if it's 5 miles out the way, but you don't want to sit at a 60-second light. So you go all the way around. Ain't no lights. Yeah, but you just spent a quarter tank of gas while I'm sitting at this light not burning anything. That shows something about your character. You think it's faster. No, you just have no patience. So here's what God's going to do. When you go around that way and take that detour, he's going to have some traffic there to stop you. Now you can't go nowhere. And you wind up, then that flag person is there, sending you right back to the road that you came off of, telling you we're tearing up this street. We are so comfortable as a people, we are so comfortable with mediocrity. Even in our spiritual walk, we just want to do enough to get to heaven. We don't want to be trailblazers. That's one thing that bothers me about this country. I'm a historian by hobby, and I study the history of this nation. This nation was formed and forged on the backs of individuals who took risk, who took chances, who struggled through adversity. Even the pilgrims came over, and on that long sailing from England, and they endured storms, and they were sick because they weren't used to being on the long boats for that amount of time. They were sick, and many died in the process. And when they finally landed in the country called America, they were met with a horrible snowstorm that did not allow them to even plant crops, and they wrote what's called the Mayflower Compact, and that simply says we're going to take care of each other. They knew then that the secret to victory was being able to have somebody to lean on. That's as biblical as it comes. And then God, in his mercy, he doesn't just miraculously cure the ground. He sends Indians to teach them how to plant corn and work the land. Are you ignoring your Indian? See, you may be broke because you're trying to do what you can't do. And God has people that he wants to send to you to help you, but pride won't let you listen. But he speaks to you through people. If you want to play baseball, to whom will you associate? People who can play baseball. Are you with me? Lord, help me here this morning. If you want to be proficient in anything, then you associate with the people who are proficient in that field. Well, why is it if you want to be successful, your boat is filled with unsuccessful people who don't want to be successful? I'll tell you why. Because you've allowed your culture to make you feel that you have an allegiance to deadbeats who want to stand on the corner so you can keep it real. I don't want to keep it real. I want to keep it successful. That store you hanging out in front of, I don't want to hang out in front of it anymore. I want to buy it. I want to own it. Lord, help me here today. Am I surrounded by the right kind of people, or do we have to have a purge in Bethel? How long you been going to that corner store, giving that person money and feeding their family and caring for them? When will you ever develop a consortium and buy that store? How did Dunkin' Donuts go from that one little coffee shop just selling donuts to almost a supermarket now being owned by people from faraway Asia? And you've been here all your life because you thought by coffee, they thought by the chain. And you want God to make you successful. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. No, read Jeremiah chapter 29. You ain't ready for Deuteronomy until you are understanding Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I don't want to tell these people all this bad news. God said, you got to tell them. Jeremiah said, I ain't telling them no more. I'm sitting down. I ain't saying nothing. But the word is like fire. It had nothing to do with sending you to hell. Oh, I got to tell you, the word is like fire. You going to hell. No. That's not what he was impregnated with. Why do we think that having a sermon on hell means I've walked with God? My parents didn't beat me all the time. Sometimes daddy took me to baseball games. Check this out. I remember when my father had to spank me. I remember it, but I also remember where I was when the first man landed on the moon. I was in ConeMac Stadium. I was sitting on the first base line with my daddy, standing up, clapping our hands when they announced it over the loudspeaker that we had a man on the moon. Now, I can't give you every detail about the beating, but I can tell you where we sat. Why? Because I remember the good times. I remember going to Fairmount Park and watching the cricket matches with the West Indians because my daddy was Jamaican, and I remember going out there. I remember going downtown, and when he was working as a construction union carpenter on those buildings, I remember getting on those elevators and going upstairs, up on the elevator to see him working his job. Oh, yeah, he did beat me, but he also did stuff to let me know he loved me. You see, too many of us are worried about going to hell, and God is saying, come on, let me bless you. Come on, let me take you someplace higher. Let me lift you. Let me heal you. Let me open your heart and fill it with my love. I know you've been broken. I know, lady, I know your heart is broken from what that man did to you. I know, man, your heart is broken for what that young lady did to you. But come to me and let me give you love and peace. I want you to be successful. I don't want you to walk around with that scar on your heart forever. I want to heal you. But that doesn't fit the Pentecostal church. See, Pentecostals like to hear you're going to hell if your hair is too long. Women, you shouldn't wear a man's garment. Shouldn't have on pants. You shouldn't go to the beach. You shouldn't bowl. You shouldn't skate. You shouldn't do anything but go to Blue Mountain. Well, I guess I'm going to hell because I go other places. And my philosophy is very simple. God made the world. And I'm tired of sinners going to my daddy's world. So by the time you get to Jeremiah chapter 29, he's pretty much worn out. And so God says, all right, here's what's going to happen. They ain't listening, so I'm going to put them into Babylonian captivity. Why the Babylonians? Why not somebody sensible? Because the Babylonians will make you repent. If God is going to put you in some kind of correction, you best believe it's going to be a good correction. Babylonians used to cut off your leg up by your hip, and they would stick you in the ground so the leaking blood would draw big red fire ants that would bite you the rest of the time you were in that ground. They were horrible, nasty arrogant people. And God said, all right, I'm going to have you, my children, to be in bondage to them for 70 years. But God is always looking to heal his children. My mother beat me one day after I changed my my red E's into blue B's. She beat me with an ironing cord, and the ironing cord was gathered at the bottom and taped. And one of the pieces of the ironing cord came out and scraped me across my face. She didn't mean to do it. It was just, you know, in her flow. It just came out. And it just shook right across my face. And I was light-skinned, so it left this red mark right across my face. Well, I knew I had her then, so I was going to go out and get pity. We didn't have DHS in those days. I ain't had nobody to call. But I was going to go outside. But after Mama finished correcting my behavior, she went into the bathroom medicine cabinet and she brought out a bottle of methylate. And she wanted to cure what she had wounded. So she's standing there with the methylate on a cotton ball, talking about, stand up here. Listen to this. Stand up here and let me fix this. And I'm like, no, no, I want everybody to see what you did to me. She says, stand up here. Listen to this. Why you make me do this to you? It wasn't until several years later that I understood that she was right. Most of us walk into judgment with God because we make him do it to us. We disobey his command and we walk in disobedience and things happen. Oh, the amens left. So God says, all right, now you're going into captivity with the worst people that I could ever put you in. He said, however, just to show you that I'm God and I'm still on your side. He said, I want you to prosper. I want you to build houses, get married, have youngins. I want you to become so successful that the people will know that I'm with you even during your bondage. Now flip forward a few thousand years and ask, how is that working out for us? Here's what God is saying. God says, all right, I'm going to let you get laid off next week. All right, so don't fight it. When they give you the slip, lift it up to me and say thank you. He said, but here's what's going to happen. I'm going to meet your needs so successfully, I'm going to bless you so significantly that the people who were laid off with you will wonder how you're still paying your mortgage when they lost their house. How are you paying? Matter of fact, how are you driving your car? How are you walking in health? Listen, God says, I'm going to fix it so you won't even need hospitalization. I'm going to heal you so significantly that everybody's going to say, what happened to that condition that you had? God said, it's in stasis. Because you're my child. And the negative situation does not remove my power over your territory. God wants you to be successful, but it won't work until you declare it's my time for success. And you better not declare it thinking you're going to walk out of here and find a bag of money. Because God can do that. Yes, he can. God can do that. God can do that. God can do that. But watch this. He'd rather not. He'd rather not. Jesus only multiplied the fishes and the loaves 2 times. He only raised 3 people from the dead. He doesn't do all that stuff all the time. He could have done it all the time. Yes, he could, but he chose not to. Why? He was hoping that you would develop the principles so that you could do it yourself. So that you can walk into your own house and say, Father, I'm down to my last loaf of bread and mayonnaise. Show me what to do. Let me tell you something. God dropping it down to you is not maturity. That's babyism. You wake up in the morning, there's a bag of money at your bed. Ow, glory to God. You go off in tongues. Yata, mosha, kadabo, sitia. Cash, 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 cash. Woo, glory, glory. That's baby. That's for somebody who don't know God's other methods. Y'all ain't hearing me. You hearing me? Watch this. Here's maturity. God, I have a need. Here's the need. and then God uses a sinner to meet your need. Somebody who has been wanting you to fail. God, maturity is the person who sent you the note that they're going to repossess your house, calls you back to say there's a mistake. Your house is paid off. You never even saw the money, but God took care of it by using the very person who told you you were going to lose it. The same doctor who told you you were going to die will call you back and say, I made a mistake. I read it wrong. What happened? Y'all better listen to God. Listen to God. He tells the children of Israel, when you get into bondage, he says, buy houses and dwell, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit. Get married and have children. Then get your children married so they can give you sons and daughters. Why? So that you may be increased there and not diminished. Lord, this is going to bless your socks off, so pull them up tight. God is saying that your trial should never diminish you. You ought to come out of that bad time with more than you went in. You ought to come out of there with more praise, with more peace, with more joy, with more stuff than what you went in, because the God that you serve, don't let that thing beat you down. If the devil is successful in beating you down, then every time you slip into trial or testing, you will be defeated before it starts. But if you've mastered this principle, devil, you got me beat up right now. Devil, my situation is a little negative right now. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me some houses. I'm going to seek the peace of God. I'm going to lift my hands and give him praise. I'm going to invite God down into my situation. And the only way to get God into your situation is to give him praise, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Because we still have that slave mentality. Lord, I need somebody to process this. You came from a nation of kings. Do you understand that? It was our ancestors ruling Nigeria. Our ancestors ruling Zimbabwe, our ancestors ruling Egypt, our ancestors ruling a continent. They brought us here and made us slaves by changing what we thought of ourselves, so that when you were free, you still thought like an American. You didn't get your king thoughts back. You still had your servant thoughts. Now God saved you and made you a king. You say, hold it, Jesus is king. No, he ain't. No, he's not. Jesus is King of Kings. That means he's gotta have some kings. He's got to have some kings. Are you hearing me? And before I can rule a kingdom, I've got to rule my spirit. Yeah. Sit down, sit down. Watch this. This position does not start with you having a lot of money. It starts with basic stuff. The first thing it starts with is your posture. See, most of our people walk around like they're expecting to die. Psychologically, public speakers are told that if you want people to believe you and to have confidence in you, lift your head and roll your shoulders back. Because if you can stand up while you're promoting something, what you're saying is, my philosophy works. Tell your neighbor, lift your head. Even the Bible tells you, lift up your heads. Why? Because you ain't beat down no more. You are free. You have been risen above the traps of the devil. Roll your shoulders back and walk like a king. Here's what the devil has done. That's why you don't feel successful. He took away your walk. No. You. He took away your walk because you misappropriate scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we are led to the slaughter. Bah, bah. We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Bah, bah, bah. Oh, shut up. You are children of the Most High God. The devil's under your feet, whether you know it or not. Every now and then he roars and you think he's something. You ever notice that it's the male lion that roars, but it's the female that hunts? And all the male does is come around and eats what the female catch. That's why the Bible said that the devil roars like a lion. Females don't roar. They gurr, but they don't roar. Because they work. But the animals run from his roar and will run right into the trap set by the women, the female. And they hunt, they are intelligent. They get you in a semicircle. The women always stick together. That's why God said in prayer, give me the weeping women. Women have been praying revival, not men. Women have been calling down the power of God, not men. Men argue doctrine and theology. Women get on their face and seek God. They pray till the fire comes down. Why? Because they're relational and connected. They don't care who Cain's wife was.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08215P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news. Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.